Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast World Cup Special Take 2 with myself, Craig, Ash.
Hello.
And Tom.
Ahoy.
There it is again.
Well, that was it.
There it is again. It's so excited. We are back. We haven't been around since the group stages. We've got lots coming up. All our regular features. The new Big 3 segment where Tom, Ash and myself go up against each other with our Big 3 comparisons. You get to decide who wins. We're also chatting later on to top of the league, Andy Gibbons.
Boo.
Yeah, boo, exactly. Come to be top of the league. So we decided to get him in for a chat later on. But right now, I guess, it's been a while. We probably need a bit of a catch-up. In fact, Andy is top of the league. Ash, do you want to give us a quick rundown of where we're at with the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Mini League?
I thought you were going to talk about the World Cup, because in fact, I don't think since we were last here, I think when we were last on, England were still in it.
They were.
That's how long it's been.
They were.
In the league-wise, yeah, Gibbons is top by a mile.
Yeah.
He's now like 30-odd points ahead of you.
Yeah.
You're third.
Yeah.
I've pulled it up to fifth.
Yeah.
And Tommy's Guns. Tom, where are you? You're fifth from bottom.
Give us an idea. What kind of points difference are we talking? For instance, between Andy at top of the league, Andy Gibbons at the top, and Tom Holmes here, our very own Tom.
Well, I think Andy's on 226.
Yeah.
And Tom is on 100.
109.
Well, yeah.
109.
Yeah, that's right. Points.
Aaron's All-Stars is doing particularly well. On 57.
That's the big news, 57. Is that last time we were together, we were laughing at a gentleman called Will Monk, who was at the bottom of our mini league.
Oh, yeah.
He had 8 points.
The Monkster.
Yeah.
He had 8 points after all that time. He has clawed himself up.
Oh, Monko. Yeah, he's clawed himself up.
Big Monkey.
From 15th to 14th.
Big Monkey. I didn't think that through. Not Monkey.
Yeah.
But he's not on the bottom anymore, so it is all changed. It's still anyone's game, though, because I believe the points actually double throughout the knockouts.
Oh, that's right.
That's great.
You should have told me. I will definitely.
Yeah, you'd have made the appropriate off. Changes.
I think also a shout out to Jamie Stocks.
Yeah,
who is actually nestled in between first and third,
or nestled in between Andy Gibbons and Craig Hazel
and
myself,
and
having
the
met
filling,
Andy earlier.
The
that's
in a lovely
that's quite,
sandwich.
Quite a place to be.
I think that's where Tom's always dreamed of being.
It is
definitely.
It absolutely is. So yeah, Jamie Stocks. It's still anyone's game. Anyone can still win. We should probably talk then as well, because like you say, last time we were together, England are in the group. A lot's changed. It's the knockout phases. The gloves are off for England, Italy, Spain. The boots are off, quite frankly. They're at home.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Rested up.
Yeah.
So
slippers are on, if anything.
Exactly. Yeah. But they've gone, so it hasn't disappointed. It's still amazing.
Well,
this
World Cup. It's certainly disappointed.
Yeah, well, as an England fan.
Been an England fan. But yeah, no, it's there's been nothing, you know, there's been no givens at all. Yeah, it was, very, very good as a neutral, which I now am.
Yeah.
It's definitely been very interesting. Spain, I mean, Spain going out, Jesus Christ, that was incredible, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, and Portugal, who were pretty fucking terrible the whole
Well, I think Portugal are probably one of the two or three teams that England might have beaten had they played them. They were awful.
Possibly, they were, I think every single game, wasn't it? Yeah,
they were poor.
It's like they got worse and worse.
It says a lot, because I was happy that USA went through. After seeing USA play,
I think so,
there was a chance Portugal could have snuck through, and it would have been a travesty if a team like Portugal got to the knockouts, because they were terrible.
Yeah.
But it hasn't disappointed. We said last time we were together that this is a... the best World Cup in memory for us. I think it still is.
I think it is. I think the games have...
I don't know. I'd still say Italia 90 was better.
Yeah.
But England were doing something in it, so I don't know if that counts.
Well, the TV seemed bigger then. We were very young.
I was four. I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
I really
just
didn't.
A lot of men running about, kicking balls.
To be fair, I'm not sure a lot has changed.
To be fair, I still don't know what's happening.
Still watch it wide-eyed.
Who's that?
But I think, you know, it's a phenomenal World Cup. It's very unpredictable. We just, you know, we're here now having just, what, talking to neutrals. Talking, you know, Switzerland, Argentina.
Yeah,
the South American teams, you know, are still, we just watched Argentina score in the 118th minute. Argentina and Brazil... we were told, oh, they'll dominate at the group stage. They didn't, we were told. But as they get more comfortable, they'll start to play. They haven't. Mm. It's still pretty unpredictable.
Yeah, I was gutted about Chile going out. I think every team looks beatable. There's no one... I mean, even the Germans.
Yeah.
You know, they look beatable now. So I'm thinking, you know, it's a shame that we didn't go through, because I think on our day, you know, if we played like we did against Italy, granted we did lose against Italy in our first game, I think, you know, on our day, that we could potentially beat a lot of teams.
Yeah.
You know, if we'd have stayed in, obviously.
I think the difference, one thing you are starting to notice between the first round, like the groups now, the first group games were so open, weren't they? People just scoring goals and like fucking it up and going mental. And now everyone's so scared to play, I think.
It's a different brand of football, isn't it? Knockout tournament football. Yeah. Some people, some teams are good at it, some managers are good at it. They always talked about Rafa Benitez was a phenomenal knockout tournament kind of manager. It's a different game, it's a lot more tentative, and I think that probably teams like Chile, who are just there playing all out on the table, probably struggled a little bit with it. But I was gutted. I think, and now that England are out of it, I think everyone instantly becomes the supporter of the underdog, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Everyone's really enjoying Colombia. Like, everyone's desperate for Colombia to do well. And well, talking of Colombia, the big standout for Colombia and indeed the World Cup has obviously been James Rodriguez. A player who, when we got together last time, we all picked who was going to be a big scorer in the latter parts of the group stages. Not one of us picked.
Did anybody transfer him into their squad?
I did, thanks very much.
Yeah, me too.
I did it since
then. Didn't. Right, so it came to obviously the transfer window, in terms of fantasy football news, that's been the biggest part. The transfer window has opened. We were allowed 4 transfers. If you're lucky, you got to have 11 players who are all still playing. I did. Some people obviously didn't. I didn't bring Rodriguez in because I knew everyone else would. And I thought, you've got to make ballsy moves if you want to win this.
I see.
And you've got to hope. I was hoping, knowing that everyone would pick Rodriguez, and they have, I was hoping he would dry up a little bit. He has not dried up. he has continued to be the absolute wonder child, wonder player of the World Cup, with another 2 goals. And he has been phenomenal. We should pick out who our picks were. I think it's good to call ourselves on our, you know, on our players. I mean,
excellent choices.
You know, Ash, you said in the last podcast that the rest of the group stages was to keep an eye out for the little genius that is Valbuena.
Yeah, and then also, I said that he wouldn't score many points, but he'd be brilliant. So I didn't put him in my team, and he scored about 1 billion points.
He's been great. He's been really good. You were right. You were right on the money. I went a bit strange. I went for Edin Dzeko. I knew that he wouldn't get through the group stages, but I thought they had an easier run after playing Argentina first. He grabbed a goal. He did okay. He certainly wasn't worth transferring in because the knockouts were there. Tom?
Well, I went for Balotelli.
Yeah.
Who I thought, again, would definitely get through the group stage. I thought they were going to, weren't they?
Yeah.
And obviously they didn't. And he didn't do anything, did he?
Well, although, to be honest, he didn't bite anybody.
He didn't.
No, that's true, yeah.
Which is something else that's happened since we've last been on.
Wow, that seems, it's almost forgotten about.
Yeah, but that was only literally about 3 days ago.
It certainly hasn't been forgotten about, and it's only just been really addressed. I think, was it today or was it last night?
Oh, well, he
addressed it himself.
Like the transfer window, it's been slammed shut by him.
It really has.
Well, now he's admitted it, because I mean, before, it was so, you couldn't really tell. I mean, there was clear video footage of him trying to eat somebody.
Yeah.
But
ridiculous.
Till he admitted it.
It's difficult to deny it. Well, even Chiellini's now saying, I don't worry about it. Like, it's effectively he had a little nibble.
Do you think Barca have like paid him off as well? Gone, look, just saying. That is why Suarez has admitted it, because it's all part of a deal for him to go to Barca.
Sanchez, blah, 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 going the other way. Exactly. For Chiellini to go, bygones be bygones, don't worry about it. That's crazy. It's his third bite.
What did we think about his ban then?
That's not something you should say. Not about another human being. No. You never go, it is his third bite. That is a good point.
I was talking about this. Speaking to people, I've never met anybody who's ever been bitten by a dog, right?
Right, okay.
But I know of people that have been. Yeah. Like, friends of friends, like, anecdotally, people have been bitten by dogs. But dogs go around biting people, that's their like thing.
Yeah.
Oh, they love a little bite of a person. But I now know of Suarez, who's bitten 3 people, so I know of 3 people that have been bitten by a human.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no one has ever been bitten by a dog.
If we make it positive, what are the odds? He's given 3 people great dinner table anecdotes.
Yeah.
About being bitten by
an
angry Uruguayan. Well, there is a hashtag Team Suarez going about, which I'm not sure how that works.
Who on earth could back him other than
John Terry?
Yeah.
He's probably doing it.
But what's the guy that hit the crossbar against Brazil? Do you see he got the shot tattooed across his back?
For Chile?
Yeah, the picture of him.
Mauricio Pinilla.
Yeah, taking the shot and hitting the crossbar. Yeah.
He made 4 appearances for Heart of Midlothian. He played for Hearts in the height of our absolute madness, where he was apparently exiled from the Chile team at the time for sleeping with the captain's wife.
Classic.
And was on all sorts of extracurricular narcotics. But
he looked cool. I thought he looked cool.
He's not great. He does drugs and has sex with his wives. He is cool.
He's, No, I thought he looked cool. Even right, he hit the bar, and he it was like he didn't. It was kind of I knew he scored.
He's off his face. He doesn't even know he's there.
Yeah, but when he missed his penalty as well, looked like didn't give a shit.
No, he's too cool. 80% Kesselman, that man. Yeah,
smoked a cigarette behind the bike sheds afterwards.
Yeah, he is pretty cool. And at Hearts, he turned. Cool. The fact that I'm saying at Hearts, a guy who just hit the bar against.
Yeah,
Brazil.
He's not so cool now.
Well, there's been a lot of that in this World Cup. Though I think people have got the opposite to England, where they have to pick their best players. Although I suppose they probably are, but everybody you see, it's like, oh, this guy. Last year, played 3 games for Southampton's reserve. Yeah. Now he's like smashing Argentina.
Yeah,
and all the decent players.
Well, there's a lot of that. The amount of players that I've seen, they go, yeah, and so-and-so had a season at West Brom.
Yeah, he's like a free agent. Jesus Christ! Yeah. Where did this come?
Well,
from?
No one's scared. Yeah,
all like, oh yeah, they're all looking for new because they all play for Fulham.
I watched the Greece game, the opening game of theirs, and they got dicked by Colombia. And I watched it with a Greek friend, and I sort of said they could be the worst team in this tournament. Mm-hmm. Greece, they can't score a goal for shit. And there they were, a couple of penalties away from making the quarterfinals. And like, it's ridiculous. Everyone's kind of delivered. No one's scared of this World Cup. There's no reputations, right. And it makes for a great tournament for us. The other talking point, I guess, is obviously whilst all the World Cup's going on, it's quite bizarre, but people are out in Brazil. And, you know, usual business is going on with football clubs at home. So people have already got one eye on fantasy football 2014-15 with transfers going on. Like, every tournament always has its stars that get picked up by Premiership clubs. And people instantly start thinking, oh, they're going to be... they turn out to be flops. Some of them are absolute... You know, they're fantastic. But for every, you know, success story, there's a Bebe or...
El Hadj Diouf.
Yeah, or an El Hadj Diouf. Do you know, Pelé named in the top 50 footballers of all time after the 2002 World Cup. But is anyone any hurt stories you've heard of players at the World Cup sort of catching the eye, or maybe getting transferred to the Premiership
because of the World Cup? I think there's obviously Khedira, from Germany. Apparently Wenger's interested in him, because I think the only reason is because he actually makes Ozil play well.
Yeah. That's it.
And obviously we paid how much money for him, and
so effectively Arsenal really are just signing a babysitter.
Pretty much. And obviously I don't know what sort of money was chucked around, but I mean, if you have to buy someone to then make your £30 million signing good, you
that's
know,
like, well, then, that's that like football together, manager when you have to sign someone from the same nationality to keep them happy.
But then that's why I reckon, I think we talked about it last time, why PSG have signed, what's his name? I keep calling him Alex. It's not... Curly head guy from Chelsea.
Luis.
Yeah, because he's total BFFs with Thiago Silva, isn't he?
So. I can't believe BFFs just been said on a football podcast.
Yeah.
And what we were hoping is a reputable football podcast. BFFs.
Yeah, totally. They're
Thiago Silva.
They're totally bros. So that's the only reason, as far as I can see, he's gone over there to keep Thiago Silva happy. So
Liverpool went with the tactic I use on Football Manager, where you find the shittest, least capable player of the same nationality, and they signed Sebastián Coates to sit in the reserves for Luis Suarez the whole time. Weirdly though, you know his surname's like Sebastián Coates. Mm. You know it's his grandfather's Scottish, it's Coates. Like it's from Scottish origin.
Oh, no way.
But it's just been South Americanized, his surname.
Wow.
So he's actually Seb Coates.
Yeah, it's like the James Rodriguez thing.
Yeah.
They keep calling him Hammers, don't they?
Yeah.
And then in listening to the Dutch commentary of it, the guy kept... Because you can't work out, obviously, what they're saying the whole time. Mm. And then he kept switching every other time he said it.
I mean, the big question is why you're watching the games with Dutch commentary, I guess. I mean, that's the only thing I'm thinking throughout this anecdote.
Well, obviously, I'm more hardcore than you guys, I want to get the full experience.
Well, just get some Dutch into this. Yeah. And what about your boy Valbuena? There's rumours of him, is there not?
Yeah, well, obviously, the boys at West Ham, Big Sam's, listening to the podcast.
He's picked up on
my top tip, and he's trying to get in for Valbuena. Because he's only... Is it Marseille or Bordeaux? Marseille,
big,
I think.
Big physical player like Sam Allardyce. Like,
I think they wanted to pair him up with a dual strike force.
That's it.
With Andy Carroll, because they're the same type of player. Mm. So,
and they'll get some work during Panto season as well. So.
But I think it might massively be the same sort of thing that Tottenham do every year, where it's like you're trying to sell your season tickets. Oh, we're being linked with Pelé, Ronaldo,
yeah.
And then just as you buy your season ticket, they're like, cool, right, we've signed Pedro Pelé.
Yeah.
Mate, Arsenal, being an Arsenal fan, we do that all the time. At exactly the same time, the rumours go around, like, it was always David Villa.
David Villa.
Get your season tickets in, because Villa will be there. I'll tell you that. Who have we got? Some 19-year-old from a fucking hut somewhere. Oh, no.
Arsenal were a nightmare for the transfer season, aren't they? But there's been a few confirmed deals, obviously. We've always got one eye on... the real quiz, the Premier League fantasy football season. Absolutely. So, you know, Southampton are having a bit of a clear out.
Yeah. The amount of money they make, they've got really good, I don't know if it's good business or, but you actually look, I mean, they've got such a great youth system at Southampton. Yeah. Some of the players that have come through there. Yeah. And
well, they've just lost Lambert, Shaw and Lallana, but they've also just taken around £55-56 million pounds.
Ridiculous money. Yeah.
So for those three players. But then people will argue, are they replaceable really for Southampton's success? But I suppose if Southampton, you know, they're any club and apart from the top few, the big three, sort of four, are a selling club. So they've got to be used to that.
Yeah, even the thing is, even the big four are selling clubs to Real Madrid and Barcelona, aren't they?
Of course, And the whole Lallana's obviously gone to Liverpool. That was confirmed, £25 million. Yeah. Luke Shaw becomes
32.
He's the sixth most expensive defender of all time, or fourth or sixth most expensive defender of all time.
Was it £32 million, wasn't it?
I can't remember. I think it's 27 plus add-ons, isn't it?
So I think I was away. I missed this.
Yeah, that's all happened. Man U, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah. Sure.
We are on the pulse here at the Gaffer Tapes. There it is. Wow. And obviously Lambert went a couple of weeks ago. There's talk of Morgan Schneiderlin going to Arsenal as well from Southampton.
Yeah, I did hear that.
So they're having a bit clearer. I mean, in terms of fantasy football, I mean, I'm above you, Ash, but you know, you're the resident Premier League expert.
Are they continental?
Do you steer clear of them? Like, because obviously they've come with a big price tag. Their price in the fantasy football is going to inflate.
Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends what they stick their price at, and whether they're going to also, I think, whether they're going to get a game or not, it's going to affect it.
Yeah,
like Lallana, I don't know.
So you're paying more for less game time, essentially.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's got to be someone who's going to play every week.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's going to be plenty more players throughout the World Cup that get linked to Arsenal, no doubt. And obviously a few more that are going to impress. That's the end of our first segment here for the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast World Cup Special. Like I say, we're chatting with league leader Andy Gibbons. We're also introducing our new feature, The Big Three, where Ash, Tom and myself fight it out about our top three in various different arguments, and you get to decide. And we've also got the Gaffer Gambler. We'll see how we did after the last podcast. We'll give you some tips that you can choose to ignore for the next one. But for now, that's the end of the first part, and we'll see you in a bit. Hello and welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast World Cup Special. It's just me, Craig, for this little segment. Tom's gone off to, no doubt, get some more sugar-free iron brew. Ash is masterminding his comeback into the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football League. But I can welcome actor, Swansea fan and the Gaffer Tapes Mini League member, Andy Gibbons. Hello, Andy.
Hello. Sorry, I think you were meant to say Gaffer Tapes Mini League leader?
Leader, that's true. We'll come to it. It's all right.
A bit of a tongue twister, but it's
all right.
It was
worth
it.
We are working on the name. It's not catchy as an acronym. It's the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast World Cup Special.
Okay, someone's practiced.
It doesn't work that well as an acronym. But yeah, we won't act as Swansea fan and Gaffer Tapes Mini League leader. I don't know what order those priorities are in. But yeah, we're going to be catching up with Andy, finding it about. He is top of our league, finding out how he's top of our league, what he thinks of the World Cup. His beloved Swansea and how they'll do next season, and we might even let him talk a little bit about what he's up to. But so far, obviously, World Cup fever. I know the answer because any football fan worth their salt knows the answer. But World Cup so far, what have you made of it?
Well, it's been pretty impressive considering there's been more goals in this World Cup so far. We're not even into the quarterfinals yet than the whole of the last World Cup. It's been pretty good. Most games have been entertaining. Even the nil-nils have been going to penalties or last-minute extra-time winners and things. So, yeah, on the whole, very, very entertaining.
Because it's not often you'll find yourself thinking, oh, I best stay up because there's, you know, Greece versus Costa Rica. Exactly. Which I did, which I found myself doing. A lot of people did.
Yeah, I did. And it was good.
It was good.
It was better than to be expected.
Yeah, although the last World Cup was dog shit. I don't know how else to say it. It was terrible, wasn't it?
It was terrible. Yeah, dog shit's about right.
Dog shit is about right. But it has been a great World Cup. There's been a few surprises. The biggest surprise about this so far is that you are a Swansea fan and indeed a Welshman. Is that right?
Both correct. Yes. Yeah.
Is it sick? Because I'm a Hearts fan with my accent. I find that quite difficult. So how did you come about being a Swansea fan exactly?
Well, I was born in Swansea, so...
It's a good start.
Yeah, so that's as good a reason as any. Basically, we moved when I was about 9 months old, so I have the pleasure of being a Welshman and a Swansea City fan, but I don't have the curse of the horrible Welsh accent.
That's true.
So I've got the best of both worlds, basically.
And, well, with any luck, with, you know, a few emerging talents, maybe we'll see Wales at the next World Cup.
Next World Cup, I don't know, that might be a stretch. I do think we'll qualify for the Euros.
Yeah, now that it's been extended.
Reason being, yeah, more teams, so you can get three teams from each group going through from the qualifying. And it's a pretty good time for Welsh football. Midfield, we're looking pretty solid.
Right?
Got Gareth Bale, most expensive footballer in the world. And apparently,
now where's an Alice
apparently,
band?
Apparently, yeah. But unfortunately, football also includes a defence. So
and a striker.
Well, if Bale plays there, then...
Because Bale, Allen, Ramsey, the young lad at Man United, Williams at Crystal Palace, there's a good core.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good midfield. It's a pretty solid midfield. And having watched the World Cup, there aren't many teams that have got a better midfield and a striker like Gareth Bale, but our defence is absolute pony.
Yeah.
So that needs to be... Having said that, three of the four are Swansea players, so that's... I've just realised that, which is quite worrying.
Of the defenders?
Yeah.
Three of course, Williams, Taylor and Davies.
Yeah, well, he plays Taylor at right back, so that's worrying, actually. So
Well, that brings us on nicely, because obviously, a big Swansea fan.
Yeah.
And it must be nice, novel for you when you're doing fantasy football to be able to pick Swansea players still, because obviously if you went years in the darkness... Where you never saw SWA beside a player in the fantasy football.
No. It's been pretty... I mean, 10 years ago, we almost dropped out of the Football League. And it's quite good because being a Swansea fan, it's not like a fashionable team, so no one can accuse you of being a glory supporter. But we actually are doing pretty all right.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it wasn't the best season, but, you know, European football now, or last season anyway... cup wins, playing at Wembley, you know, it's a lot different than it was 10 years ago, definitely.
And when you're picking your fantasy football team then, do you find yourself picking, because not many players will have maybe three Swansea players, not many people will use their maximum capacity of Swansea players, do you find it difficult to avoid them? Does your heart rule your head?
It can do, but then having said that, I was, so two seasons ago, I put Michu in my team, just after we signed him, so he was a bit of an unknown quantity at the time. And then I thought, no, he's not going to be any good. It's just, it is my heart rule in my head. So I took him out, and then on the first game of the season, I went to watch us batter QPR 5-0, and he scored two goals. So, but I mean, in general, because you have a bit of a better understanding of the players, you tell yourself that it's not your heart rule in your head. You actually just know these players a bit better. Like, I had Nathan Dyer in my team for 2 years, I think, and he is a class player, but he doesn't get that many points.
Although Swansea have probably had the surprise, because Michu was the surprise point scorer that year. Bonny had a brilliant season.
Yeah,
last year.
I had Bonny in my team for quite a while last season. He's good player. Yeah, so I mean, because we are a bit of an unknown quantity as well, our players are quite cheap on the fantasy team.
Yeah.
So you can bring, you know, you always need to have a couple of cheap players. So, you know, a bit of a benefit, I suppose, of having a bit more of an understanding of those players.
And are you one of those people then that thinks that supporting a side like Swansea, a smaller club, they're generally better fantasy football players than the Man United fans and City fans? You probably don't look outside their own 11.
Yeah, probably. Especially the Man United fans with a London accent who probably don't know anything about football.
But I mean, us two saying that is absolutely outrageous. A Hearts fan and a Swansea fan. for very different reasons.
Very different reasons. I think I've got... I mean, I've certainly got more of an understanding of Swansea, which most people wouldn't do, so I can pick a couple of gems in there, hopefully.
I think you've got more of an understanding of Swansea than most people from Swansea, probably.
Quite possibly, yeah, because everyone in Swansea supports Liverpool or Man United. So, as you well know, I did pretty well in the fantasy league.
You're doing very well now as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no doubt that that's going to crash and burn. I mean, I had a bit of a stroke of genius by putting James Rodriguez in from the beginning.
Well, let's talk through the team. Who have you got? Who is this? Who's winning? Because at the moment, you're sat
on 226 points.
Yeah. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's not huge. I mean, there's people on 300.
Of course, but you're a good 30 points ahead of anyone in the Gaffer Tapes League, and we're coming to the end of the last 16 matches, quarterfinal. It's a healthy lead.
Yeah.
So what's the team? What is the team? What are they called, actually?
Well, it's Andy Makalaka. Bit of a play on words there from Angie.
It's always good when you have to explain it, I find.
Yeah. It's more of a visual one, really.
Yeah, so, of course.
Okay, so in goal, I've got Romero for Argentina. Okay. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know an awful lot about him, but looking at the group, I thought, well, Argentina won't concede many goals, and you expect them to go quite far in the tournament. I mean, obviously, part of the thinking is when you're first picking your team is you know that you're going to have to transfer some players out, but you want to kind of obviously keep as many players who are going to go a few rounds as possible. So Argentina is just a bit of a safe bet, really. But then in defence, I've got Varane, who I think is one of the best defenders on the planet at the moment.
Yeah.
Having watched him...
You'd have him at the Liberty?
Yeah, I think he'd get a
would
game.
He sque- would he squeeze in?
I think he'd get a game ahead of absolute nutcase Chico Flores and slightly slower than he should be, Ashley Williams. Mm-hmm. I've got Thiago Silva, who I brought in actually after the first transfer.
Hasn't
window.
Scored much yet, but hopefully going forward then he will do, yeah.
Yeah,
it's about getting games, I guess, isn't it? It's guaranteeing games.
You just kind of expect Brazil to sort of plod on, although, you know, there's always a danger of conceding as well. So Vincent Kompany as well there, and I brought in Armero for Colombia.
Just would have been fantastic.
Yeah, just because I fancied Colombia to go through in the last 16 and also keep a clean sheet as well, which they managed to do. And then in midfield, I've got Goetze, who I was really pleased to see get brought off at half-time last night. James Rodriguez, my man, who I've had since the beginning. Basically, I was just... I couldn't believe that they, I think he cost 3 mil or 3.5 mil or something like that. It was just scandalous. Bearing in mind, Monaco paid 45 million euros or something for him. I couldn't believe how cheap he was.
And you've had him from the beginning. You've had him from the very first
page,
I think. To be honest, if you win the Gaffer Tapes Mini League, I think you probably owe him a beer.
But I mean, a beautiful specimen like that probably doesn't drink alcohol.
Probably not. So, maybe buying some tinted moisturiser.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. Paul Pogba, who I've had in from the beginning, but had a bit of a shaky start to the tournament, to be fair. Didn't start the second game, but came good yesterday with a nice headed goal and a clean sheet as well, which is important for midfielders. And Thomas Müller as well, who I brought in, obviously jumped on that bandwagon.
Which started in 2010, I think.
I was a bit late to that party. And then I've also brought in Neymar as well, which was a bit of a flop, really, because he hasn't scored anything.
But the good news is everyone kind of had him, I think, so everyone flopped.
Yeah, but unfortunately, a lot of people had him from the beginning, so he did score points.
Yeah.
And Alexis Sanchez as well, who I've had since the beginning, who's done me very proud as well. But obviously,
done you proud?
He's done me proud.
Just gave him a call.
Yeah,
listen,
I mean,
well done, Alexis.
We're really close, and
you're tight.
Yeah, we are tight.
Sanchez, call him, isn't it?
Yep. But obviously, Sanchez no more. He's out of the tournament now. But at 37 points, he's done me pretty good.
And are you eyeing up anyone for the next round of transfers? Can that not be divulged, that information?
Well,
I
think you know full well that I can't divulge that sort of information.
Are you quite a ruthless player when you play fantasy football?
Yeah, actually, obviously we've got that. We've got like a little bit of a group chat, a few of our mates about the fantasy football, and I got really annoyed the other day when somebody mentioned about 3 hours before the deadline that they just made their transfers.
Yeah.
Which obviously prompts everyone else to make transfers who's forgotten, which it's always really...
And you think you should be punished, like, it's, you know...
Well, I think if you forget... I mean, that's part of the competition.
Right. So you don't want to level play. You're not one of these people who's like, I want to beat the best. You just want to beat people, regardless.
You just want to beat people, yeah.
It's not communism. No one gets it. It's not even sharing it.
Exactly. If you're stupid... And irresponsible enough
irresponsible.
To forget to your transfer. I made it sound like it's really important.
No.
If you forget to make your transfers, that's part of it. I love nothing more than when you get to the transfer, because obviously if you do it on the Premier League one, you get transfers every week. I love it nothing more then you get to the deadline and then you mention about transfers and someone goes, oh shit, I forgot to do my
the thing. Satisfaction of knowing you've done
it. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, that is ruthless.
And that was robbed from me the other day.
Yeah, that moment.
So I was annoyed. So,
well, you know what to expect when it comes to the Gaffer Tapes Premier League season 2014-15 then.
Yeah.
And on that note, there's always players who get picked up from the major tournaments for the Premiership who are maybe lesser, obviously not the Rodriguez and stuff, but lesser, you know, lower profile players. You think of your Karol Poborskis getting picked up back into the Patrick Berger was signed off the back of the tournament.
I don't think of my Karol Poborskis.
Yeah, well, I know. And yeah. But is there anyone from this tournament so far you're thinking, I wouldn't mind him at Swansea, would, you know, realistically?
I'd say probably 98% of the players who played, I wouldn't mind at Swansea. It's a weird one, really, because I mean there are a few unattached players or players playing in Malaysia and stuff who've done well, whose names I obviously do not remember. But it's actually, I think, been a tournament for the big names who've done well.
You know, they have delivered, haven't they?
Yeah, people like sort of Messi, apart from Ronaldo.
Yeah, but Neymar, you know, Benzema scored, Neymar scored, Muller's played.
Yeah, and you know, I would take all of them at Swansea.
Of course,
I would take. Well, any
I think Olic at Croatia is out of contract. The Mexican keeper, he's out of contract. There's a few players who have performed outstandingly who are out of contract.
Yeah, it's there are a few kind of unknowns like that. But again, I mean, I think it's just been a good World Cup for a lot of people.
Yeah, and we do a segment on the Gaffer Tapes, the Gaffer Gambler, where we kind of go through tips. We encourage people to lose money they probably don't have, people spending their kids' Christmas money, that sort of thing. You have
all winning it
maybe. I mean, that's the glass half full. That's the voice of the gambler that we wanted. Are there any ongoing bets pre-tournament that you still got, or a tip for who's, if you had to hedge your bets on who was going to win it, or the bets you put pre-tournament?
Okay, so I'll tell you a little story of how this. So basically, I saw, a lot of people would have seen this, a really, really good offer for England to win the World Cup at 100-1.
How's it going?
It's looking bleak. I mean, it's not looking like it's going to happen. No, so basically, Paddy Power did an offer where for new customers, you sign up, you get 100-1 on England to win the World Cup. So did a tenner, the obligatory England bet before. And got £20 worth of free bets, which I then put on the League One playoff final, put it on Sasevic to score first and to score any time, and won about £50 off it. So then I saw that they had an offer where if you bet on the tournament top goal scorer, £20, you get a £5 free bet every time he scores. So I did it on Neymar. So I've got that bet still running. Scored 4 goals, so I've had £20 in free bets. And from the first set of free bets, I put on a double and won about £80. Which is all gone. So, other than that, I basically told myself now I'm only going to bet every time Neymar scores and gives me a £5 free bet. So, maybe they'll
just
be
get Sanch to have a word of him now they're out of the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, we're not that tight. I think I've overstated it.
If you had to hedge the bets now, who's going to win the tournament? Who would it be?
Do you know what? It's really tough because I don't fancy Argentina. Or Brazil. I mean, Brazil could do it, but they've just been so unconvincing.
Yeah.
Germany, you'd think, but then...
Until last night, they played Algeria.
They were really unconvincing again. France have been slightly unconvincing as well. But, I mean, all of these teams could still win it. So I really don't know. If I had to put money on, which I have done...
but which you're not now.
Then I've got a £5 bet on Holland with one of my £5 free bets.
Yeah.
But the thing is, again, they've been unconvincing in games. All these big teams have been unconvincing at times.
Yeah.
But at the same time, could absolutely trounce anyone. So
I think everyone would like to see Holland win it.
Yeah, I'd like to see Hoop Holland. I've got a few Dutch friends. I'd like to see them do well. Yeah.
So it is Gaffer Tapes league leader Andy Gibbons is endorsing Holland for World Cup 2014. It's official. Yeah. Before we do go, we've got one little game. Obviously, we said you're a Swansea fan and you're the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football League player. You're also an actor. So we're going to play a little game. If you win the game, we'll give you 60 seconds to plug what you're doing, your Twitter, any of that sort of thing. Anything's coming up, any work, you know, all that sort of thing. If not, you silenced until the next time you come back on.
I'll fade into obscurity.
Which is hopefully... I mean, we don't have that level of power on people's career.
Oh.
I mean, we know people. We know people, but not... Not those
but
people.
But I know the people that you know.
Shit. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But basically, you actually mentioned him. It's a game focused around everyone's favourite Swansea player.
Leon Britton.
Not Leon Britton. Everyone's favourite slightly...
Nathan Dyer.
Slightly insane defender.
Chico Flores.
Chico Flores.
Okay.
So we wanted to, you know, Chico Flores, I know he's a favourite of yours, you mentioned earlier.
Anyone who threatens our new manager with a brick is good in my book.
Exactly. So basically, we looked through some of Chico Flores' tweets, and we've got them here, and we would like you to decide whether this tweet was written by eccentric Spanish Swansea defender Chico Flores or songwriter and X Factor finalist Chico Slimani. So Andy, it is time to play Chico or Chico time. So we're going to read you five tweets. If you can get three out of those five, we'll give you 60 seconds to plug what you're up to. If not, then I'm afraid that's it until the next the 2014-15 season.
Okay.
So all we need is Chico Slimani or Chico Flores, that's it.
Surely it's going to help that some of these are going to be in Spanish.
They have been translated.
Oh, you little bugger.
So, first tweet is, I'm not going to do the accent, it could be racist.
Okay.
I think I'm going to say, the lion of... No, we're not going to do it. It's Speedy Gonzalez. The lion of my heart, my ego slayer, and bringer of the light, my beloved master. Is that Chico Slimani or is that Chico Flores?
It could be either. I'm going to say Chico time.
You think it's Chico Slimani?
I think it's Chico Slimani.
It is Chico Slimani. We won. You're more embarrassed that could have been your centre-half.
Yeah.
Okay, second tweet. He who laughed the last, laughs the hardest, and also laughs the best. Hashtag laughs. Is that Chico Flores or Chico Slimani?
I'm going to say it's Chico Flores.
It is Chico Flores. We're on 2 out of 5.
I'm nailing this.
Okay. Tweet number three. Religion means nothing if you're still a jerk. It's a very deep one. Spiritual men, both of them, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Both. I'm going to go Slimani.
It is Chico Slimani. Do you follow them on Twitter?
I don't.
You should. Okay, next tweet, fourth tweet. It's my favourite.
Okay.
Trying to link my Facebook to my Twitter. Just testing if it worked. Has it worked? How do I know if it's worked? Is that Chico Flores or is that Chico Slimani?
I'm going to go Slimani.
It is Chico Slimani!
Yes.
This is incredible.
Yeah, my Chico knowledge is second to none.
And then the last tweet of Chico or Chico time is, nice travel with Emirates, I'm already here, hashtag, it's Chico time, Dubai.
Oh, see what you've done here.
Mm. Is it a double, is it a Kansas City shuffle? Is it the double bluff? Is it the red herring?
I'm going Flores.
Quite astounding, it is Chico Flores, that's unbelievable. Yes. It's 5 out of 5. So we will give you a quick 60 seconds, 30 seconds to tweet, to sort of plug your Twitter, what you're up to, any work you're coming out, any work you've done.
You've cut my prize in half.
I almost did, didn't I? Through absolute bitterness.
I probably don't need 60 seconds. I'm not that busy. currently I actually should be in Jordan right now filming feature film Kajaki, but it's been delayed slightly, so waiting for that to get started. So I'm currently on the most disgusting juice diet that I've ever been on.
For a war film.
Yeah, in a bid to look like I've been out in Afghanistan for months and months. Keep an eye out on that. Kajaki on Facebook or kajakimovie.com or something
like
that.
How do you spell Kajaki?
It's Kajaki.
And you've got
in the Kajaki.
Is it on your Twitter?
It's on my Twitter, which is the Andy Gibbons. Okay. GIBBINS.
I thought, I've looked up your stuff. I thought the road to the FA Cup might get a plug. It's football related.
Road to FA Cup should do. It's a 6-part football mockumentary, but I was 5 stone heavy back then, hence why I didn't want to plug it. I should have plugged my mouth instead, but there you go.
So follow Andy at the Andy Gibbons.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for Kajaki. Hopefully it doesn't get delayed too much or you'll miss the start of the season, which would be devastating.
Which would be devastating, but...
But yeah, and also, well, thank you for coming to the Gaffer Tapes. Everyone listening, follow at the Gaffer Tapes. And obviously, we're on iTunes now. Very fancy.
So so keep a listen for that. We'll be back with the third part. Ash and Tom back with the Gaffer Gambler and our feature, The Big Three. So thanks very much, Andy. Hopefully we'll see you in the 2014-15 season. Best of luck with Kajaki and the Gaffer Tapes World Cup League. Thanks very much, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast, World Cup Special, Episode 2. Still as catchy as ever, the name. It's all right, once the Premier League season kicks in, we'll be all right with Craig, Ash and Tom. We did mention we got a new feature, The Big Three. So Tom, Ash and I are going to debate a Big Three. You're going to decide who wins at the Gaffer Tapes on Twitter. You can vote. Hashtag Tom's the Gaffer. Hashtag Ash is the Gaffer. Hashtag Craig's the Gaffer. Does that work?
Yeah, okay.
Why not? So the Big Three, we're going to have this, the section of the rest of the podcast, so the length of the rest of the podcast to debate it. The Big Three is time, because we're each going to come up with one to make the Big Three, and then whoever's the best voted by the listening public. So the Big Three this week is the biggest flops of World Cup 2014. So we've got the length of the podcast to have a think about it. In the meantime, we're going to go to our regular feature, our other one, the Gaffer Gambler, a bit of betting, punditry, tipping. I know, Tom, you have been waiting 2 weeks for this.
two weeks. Well, my fiver is in the bin, effectively. What my bet was Yaya Toure for the Golden Boot, wasn't it?
And did he not win it?
He didn't do no, the sausage. He didn't.
Technically, the World Cup's not over.
Didn't score, technically, yeah. Unless he changes his nationality, comes back and scores about six goals. no, he got nothing. Didn't score a goal.
And your other, you might, let's get out of the way. Your other moment of, you know, contention from the Gaffer Gambler.
Oh yes, oh yeah. Well, I'd like to say, yeah, one of the last things we said in the last episode was Craig giving out his tips, because obviously he is the seasoned gambler, I think.
Yeah, which is a worry.
Which
if you didn't hear it last time, you just heard it this time. So
yeah, seasoned. I didn't say degenerate. I said seasoned.
No, but now you did.
Heavily implied it.
And one of your big tips was, and I think the phrase that you used was, at the end of the day, guys.
Is that me? Is that my voice?
Yeah. At the end of the day, guys.
Why did he get camp at the second time?
I'm doing your voice. I'm definitely going to camp it up. He said, "Hey, guys." he said, "At the end of the day, you know, Spain are going to get through their group. Let's face it." And it was quite a knowing thing that you said, you know, yeah, no, but they're going to get through. At the end of the day, 11-1 was it? Was it 11-1?
11-1.
It's still very generous. It's still great. You know, we should. You know, that's what I'm sticking my money on. Or something along those lines. And then obviously Spain.
You didn't put up much resistance.
No. I think I probably just nodded along and thought he knows what he's doing. He's
I think Tom was probably thinking, what's a Spain?
Tom was going,
What's a World Cup?
Tom was thinking, does Yaya Toure play for them?
Yeah.
No, but
is he the one I put my shilling on?
At the end of the first round of first round of games.
That's what you can think of, first round of betting.
Well, we've done two podcasts now, and you've mentioned the word degenerate in 100% of them. So if we could get through the next one without that'd be great.
That's true.
But so after the first round of games, yes, Spain had a bad start, but 11-1 was generous. I stand by that. Mm. No one expected them to fall so spectacularly from grace. So, it was a bad
tip. It was a terrible tip.
Apart from the bookies.
It was the worst tip in the world, I think.
Well,
and
no.
Now it's time for this winning.
Well, let's do it again.
Well, saying that, didn't you tip Yaya Toure to be top goal scorer?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was less of a tip. That was more of a 150-1.
That was a wild shot. Take me halfpenny. Yeah. You can have it. I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I made my first bet. I didn't do it. I gave the fiver to a mate.
Bearing in mind, I said, you know, get back on Spain, guys. It's great odds.
Yeah.
This, are we ready for this week's?
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tip this week because obviously I've learned from last time. But, looking at the odds, I'm just looking at outrights again. So the outright winner and the outright golden boot as things progress. Brazil and Argentina are still number one and two to win the World Cup. So obviously a lot of home advantage going on. You know, like I said, we've just seen Argentina labour to a win over Switzerland. These odds are still from after that game.
And Brazil did the same. Brazil's last game, they were penalties. A penalty kick away from losing to Chile.
Exactly, and they're still favourites. You know, they're 1-2. Holland are still fourth favourites at 9-2, and France are fifth favourites at 8-1. Now, again, everyone's had a little blip along the way, so no one's looked convincing throughout. Germany, by the way, slot in the middle of those at third favourite. But France at 8-1, again, not the players there, but France, they've won, they've got pedigree in terms of winning tournaments. I think it makes a big difference when a country knows how to win a tournament. Holland have suffered from that for years.
They do have a massive disadvantage in the shape of Giroud up front.
Yeah.
I think that.
What is it with you against French strikers? Last time it was Benzema, who's clearly a very good football player.
Well, yeah, allegedly.
Pogba's now started to deliver, you know, Andy mentioned that earlier. Pogba's started to deliver now. So I just think France at 8-1, of course they're not favourites to win the World Cup, and it's not necessarily likely, but I still think it's quite generous. So obviously they're going to get a 5-0 doing in the next game if they're to go to form. The other bets are obviously on the top goal scorer. This is quite an interesting one, top goal scorer, because normally if this was like a Premier League season, you're betting on who's going to score in the remaining, say, 10 games of the league. They're all on a level playing field because everyone gets to play those 10 games. Right. So, you know, Ricky Lambert, when he was at Southampton, had the same, you know, as Robin Van Persie. They both had the same amount of games to play. This is interesting because Rodriguez is obviously the player on form.
Yeah.
He's the favourite at 3-1, level with Messi. So if everyone had the same amount of games to play, those odds would be much, much shorter. But Colombia obviously aren't tipped to go the whole way. So that starts to become a factor. So you've got Rodriguez and Messi on 3-1 currently. Neymar's at 4-1. Muller at 9-2 on 4 goals. And then back on 3 goals is Robin Van Persie at 14-1.
That's not a bad shout.
No, that's not a bad shout. The only thing is there, obviously, 2 goals is a lot in a World Cup where there's only a couple of games left. Yeah. But he's likely to take penalties for Holland, possibly. Is he their set penalty taker, actually? If they
didn't
take
it the other day, but he was off.
He didn't, did he?
Yeah.
But he was off.
Oh, he was, yeah.
But I guess it's then you're backing, do you think Holland are valued to go to the final? If you believe Holland can make it to the final, then actually Van Persie could have 2 extra games on Rodriguez.
I'll tell you what wouldn't be a bad one is a bet that Colombia are going to do Brazil. They've got them, haven't they?
Yeah.
And then for Rodriguez to get the golden boot, because I mean, if they get past them, which is Brazil, definitely
Definitely. If Colombia beat Brazil, which there's absolutely no reason they shouldn't, you have to start thinking, well, maybe Colombia can actually win this tournament, which would be great. Wow, I think everyone would love Colombia to win it.
Yeah, although I'm not the betting expert, can you parlay like cross markets?
A double,
does it not have to be in the same?
You can do a Colombia and James Rodriguez double. That's not a problem.
It's a top tip.
We really are. It's not. That is not. This not this is not new information to anyone except for you two.
My eyes lit up. I did not know what to say. Someone said parlay.
Guys, party. Guys, stop. You're going into Ladbrokes. Have you considered betting on 2 separate actualities happening at the same
amalgamation?
Wow.
Getting that shit.
I mean, they'll get on the phone to Mr. Ladbrokes, right? William Hill will be called. Mr. Hill will get a phone call. The looks on, if only everyone could see the looks on your faces at the excitement and possibility. It was as if I just told you time travel existed or showed you a unicorn. Yeah, you can bet on 2 things at once. It's called a double and your odds obviously increase. It's to be honest, it's just fractions. So if Holland are 9-2 to win the World Cup and Robbie Van Persie's 14-1 to get the golden boot, you combine those. The internet does the maths for you. That's all done. You don't need to do that. That's all done for you. But so I would say they're your long odds. I'm not going to give you a tip necessarily.
Well, that's pretty ballsy of you. Like, is that, you is that stood
because,
up there
is that
to
because
be
of what happened with Spain? I think you should give everyone.
Yeah, come
a tip.
On. What's the top tip?
I think what's your tip?
No, bollocks to that. I'm going for the tip. It's going to be Colombia, Rodriguez.
But that's great odds. I would say
team.
Back that
now
if you can, because that's some pretty good odds.
Yeah.
I still think Brazil are going to squeeze their way to a World Cup final. To be honest, and I think Neymar at 4-1 then, having played more games definitely than James Rodriguez. Not Jay Rodriguez, he's not part of this World Cup. Could have been, got injured. So I think Neymar at 4-1. I still think Brazil have got that luck about them that they're gonna be okay. And a proper South American game, I think that's quite exciting, Brazil Colombia. That's gonna be an unbelievable game, I think, for atmosphere. But yeah, so that's the gaffer gambler. Again, I'm not sticking my neck out too much. But during the Premier League season, when we come back for that, obviously, there's a whole different range of betting that we can do. I do know in the group stages, we were saying how goals were over 2.5 goals. That was kind of winning you money. At the moment, it's kind of the opposite. 0-0 at half time is quite a popular bet at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
So sort of under 0.5 goals is what it's, the lingo is for it. But basically a 0-0 at half time, a lot of people are betting on that, getting the money and using that to then bet on a decider in the second half, because so many games are going a 0-0 at half time, yeah. And you know, winners are being scored quite deep into the game. So that's the gaffer gambler for the week. When it gets to Premier League season, I promise you I'll put my neck out on the line a little bit more. But I'm still recovering from Spain getting you know, knocked out of the tournament early.
Did they?
They bloody did, mate, yeah. If only they could play it 10 more times to prove my theory right at 11-1. But they can't. So they can't do that. But the Spain team and Yaya Toure are pissing themselves somewhere at us.
Yeah, they're loving it. So with my bloody shilling.
Yeah, you'll hate me. So they're there. Obviously, we've had one transfer window. We talked about that earlier. We've got another transfer window now coming up in a day for the quarterfinals, where we get to make some more changes to the teams. Have you guys got any early hunches? Who you're going to be bringing in? Who's going to be... Obviously, you have to shift the players who are now no longer eligible to score points. Is there anyone who's caught your eye that you want to be look to bring in?
I don't know. Who's the... who's going to have been dunked out? It's probably not many people. I don't know if many people are going to have picked players from the teams that have been knocked out, because the...
The favourites have tended to do it so far.
Yeah, they've all scudged it in extra time or penalties, haven't they?
Scudged it. I like the fact you're inventing words as we're going on. We had dunked and scudged throughout that.
Scudged it.
They have scudged
it. Big time.
I made my transfers last time, literally a few hours too early.
Before it slammed shut.
Yeah.
Redknapp was there.
And then boasted. You boasted about doing your transfers on Twitter.
Trying to get a little bit of banter going with you two, said,
And then I quickly informed you that there were still a couple of games to play and you didn't know if people were going
to
go out.
Correct. Although I didn't make any drastic mistakes, to be honest. Stuck in Rodriguez. So
I think the big question is, for people who didn't bring in Rodriguez, like myself, do you now do it and think, bring him in because then they're playing Brazil? Or do you want to try and change things up? I'm still hoping, I think, I'm going to carry on with the theme that if he doesn't score and everyone's got him, then you know, I do better if I bring in someone else.
Yeah.
That's, you need to take a risk, unless you're in the lead. Andy Gibbons there at the top of the league doesn't need to take any risks.
No.
He can just go for the general picks and he should be all right.
I think it was with another four transfers, people's teams are going to start getting quite generic, aren't they?
So
it's
going
to be quite difficult to differentiate yourself.
Which is when you have to start taking risks, I think, if you're in, I mean, you know better than anyone else, you're, you know, top 100 fantasy football player.
Exactly.
You know, when you need to chase something, then you need to bring someone a bit risky in. So there's no point putting, you know, having that midfield of, you know, Muller and Rodriguez and Pogba even after the last round. It looks great on paper, but it's the same as everyone next to you's got.
I did see that eight people transferred in Suarez.
Brilliant.
In the last transfer window. That is brave tactic. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone who not only his team had been knocked out, but he was on a plane back.
What's better than that is I think Tom's fully capable of bringing him in at this transfer window.
Yeah. I'm definitely thinking of sticking a £2 coin on him to be the golden boot.
One wrong mouse click and Tom, he doesn't know what he's doing on there. He could have him in no problem.
No, on a serious note though, of course I bloody didn't.
No, just to clarify, he didn't actually do it. But right, so we were going to come now to the big three, our new feature. We debate a talking point of football. At the moment, obviously, it's the World Cup. We're each going to pitch our own individual member of the big three, and we're going to let the Twitter sphere decide at the gaffer tapes.
What were the hashtags again?
Hashtag, well, it's hashtag the big three.
Yeah.
And if you like Tom's the best, it's hashtag Tom's the gaffer.
So
Tom's
you're double hashtagging. You've got a hashtag.
Oh, big time. Double hashtag.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I think
I like maybe my hashtags. More. I like my hashtags like I like my McMuffins. Double them up. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's hashtag.
You can stick a hashtag on that.
Muffin joke.
Yeah. Wow, I wish I could retweet that one.
Hashtag Tom's the gaffer. Hashtag Ash is the gaffer.
Ash is the
gaffer. Bit difficult for you.
Could I possibly change it just to Gaffer Tom, Gaffer Craig, Gaffer Ash? Because there's often a problem with people putting a apostrophe.
Oh, what?
I haven't even been on the iron this time. If you put an apostrophe in a hashtag, it doesn't work.
I mean, and Tom knows he's got Twitter followers.
How many Twitters are followers?
We get it. Anyway, we're going to pitch our moment to Big Three. It's the World Cup 2014, biggest flops, biggest disappointments. If you like Tom's the best, it's hashtag Gaffer Tom.
Correct.
If you like Ash is the best, it's hashtag Gaffer Ash. If you like Craig's the best, it's hashtag Gaffer Craig. It's as if we had thought of it before, we genuinely had it. So, we're going to go around now. Big Three, Tom, you're up first.
Okay.
Pitch us the biggest flop, disappointment of World Cup 2014.
The biggest flop for me...
Yeah.
isn't actually a football flop. It's a
good start.
Yeah, yeah, Tori.
It's like seagulls.
Yeah.
No, it's the ITV coverage of the World Cup. It's been shocking. I mean, it's. I don't know if it's just Adrian Charles. I think it's everything about the ITV coverage is so crap compared to BBC. The song.
Gosh, the song, yeah. The song is terrible.
I mean, it does. That just annoys me. Everything
Brazil. That
He fucking loves it. Look at his face. He's like, oh, I hate it. But I've been listening to it on my iPod.
It's my ringtone.
Just everything about... just the pundits that they've got.
So it's the concoction of Charles, Carlisle.
Yeah, I mean, I do love Ian Wright. He is my favourite footballer of all time.
Well, you must have seen Adrian Charles mocking Martin O'Neill as a guest on his show.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Saying, "Did you stand in the wall with your glasses on hiding?" And he reminded everyone that he was a 2-time European Cup winner. That was embarrassing.
Yeah. Talk of Martin O'Neill going slightly off the thing. Did you hear about apparently he accosted Iron Robin in a lift?
When you say accosted, I'm imagining a lift with a happy ending.
Sexual, yeah.
Yeah. No?
No. Well, not that I know of. No, he said something about his diving.
Oh, did he?
Again, that sounds like an innuendo, but it's not. He said, he said about after the last game, he said, he got in a lift with Robin and said something about, said, you know, I think it was a dive, mate. And Robin held his hands up and went, yeah. And apparently Robin has come out and said he felt like he did dive in the last game.
I mean, to paraphrase your story there, Martin O'Neill accosted Robin and Robin came out.
Correct.
So, heard it here first, the gaffer tapes. There it is. But ITV coverage, one last pitch before we move
on. Yes, Adrian Charles's face.
That's your sales pitch.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
There it is. Tom's biggest disappointment, biggest flop in 2014 World Cup. Adrian Charles's face and the ITV coverage.
Yeah, and his words.
So that's Tom's.
Yeah.
Mine, biggest flop. It is football. It is a football team.
Okay.
But it's not your England, your Italy, your Spain. My biggest flop, disappointment for World Cup 2014 is Cameroon. So Cameroon, not exactly a football giant, played 3, won none, -8 goal difference. But it was more the fact that allegedly 7 of them apparently getting caught up in a match-fixing betting scandal.
Yes.
About it, which makes you feel sorry for the 4 lads out on the pitch. The 4 lads out on the pitch, giving their all. Like, fellas, it was a bad day for you guys, wasn't it? Me and the 3 boys, we were busting a gut. Like, what's wrong?
They drive off in their gold Bentleys.
And also, more to the point, it's like everyone from school getting expelled for going to a party and you weren't invited to it. How shit must you be to be one of the 4 guys who was too square, like too nerdy, to be like invited into the match fixing
scandal?
Well,
tell us, Craig, what was it like?
Yeah.
Have you not? I was suspended from school, Tom.
How much money did you have on Cameroon to win the World Cup?
Bloody
mad. That's where it's all coming from.
Well, do you know what? This is what pisses me off, right? Because everyone goes on about the match fixing, it's bad at a World Cup, it is, but what about the poor bastards who bet on Cameroon in a match?
Yeah.
They don't get their money back.
No.
And at one point, they had Asu Okoto went mental and was fighting with someone, wasn't he, during the game? Like, they're just an absolute shambles of a football side. They got called by the ITV team a disgrace. I don't know, that kind of cancels each other's points a little bit. But for me, it's Cameroon. They've been rigging matches, apparently. It's a good excuse for why they've been so utterly shit. They've been fighting with each other, and they no longer wear the Puma kits with the sleeves cut off. And that's for me. I want them back.
Yeah.
Bring back those kids. Bring back Rigobert Song.
Hey,
bring back
good.
Roger Miller.
I used to like
Where him, are they? Man. Where are they gone?
Yeah.
So that's mine. Biggest flop for me is Cameroon. Ash, take it home.
Well, slightly more controversial, I'm going to go for Brazil.
Wow, Brazil.
Yeah. Although, actually, I think I'm going to strengthen Tom's case here, because ITV did play out the other day. I don't know if you saw it, with the special, the guy doing it live in the studio audience.
Oh, brilliant. The live lounge for that.
Yeah. It was, like, pretty good.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. And but apart from Neymar, Brazil have got all the ingredients of something terrible.
Yeah.
There's some serious, like, Mexican porn star moustache action going on.
Yeah.
With Fred. And the midfielder.
Quite an enigma.
They've got a lot of players with their surnames are just normal people's first names.
Yeah.
Fred, Joe.
Yeah.
At least two.
They're riddled with an extended squad. Dave, loads Paul, of them. Yeah.
Phil,
Hulk, who's like got the same name.
Hulk.
As guy.
Hulk is awful. Hulk, I still have in my dream team, and he is on all of this. He's on, still on minus 2 points.
Yeah.
And he, when he missed the penalty the other day, that just confirmed it.
So what is it? Your final pitch for why Brazil were the most disappointing thing about 2014 as the host nation?
I think it's, well, because it's a bundle of a whole different things, because they didn't take Kaká for one.
Yeah.
And who, when you think of it, like, oh, he's quite old, yeah. But it's so disappointing now, because think of all the games he could have come on. And you've got Hulk running around. Didn't he cost 60 million euros, like 48 million quid?
Yeah.
Mm. Think of the amount of players you could have got. What's his name? Who's the guy who used to play for, just retired, plays up, David Villa.
Yeah.
Cost 4 million euros.
Yeah.
So you could have had...
There's players that Brazil didn't take.
You could have a whole team.
Philippe Coutinho didn't get taken from there. He's a great player. Oh, Liverpool. My God. He didn't make the squad. So you got Brazil. So Brazil's yours.
Yeah, well, Brazil's attacking front line. They're attacking,
they are going forwards. That's setting. So you got the choice between Tom's ITV coverage of the World Cup.
If you brackets, Adrian
Charles' face, and words, and mouth, and being, and aura. Yeah. So if you think that's the worst thing about the World Cup 2014, then it's hashtag Gaffer Tom.
Gaffer Tom.
You've got Ash, who's bringing us Brazil, Brazil's frontline, Brazil's disappointing. Lack of Brazilianness, basically.
The Brazil song.
Lack of Brazil.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's hashtag
Hulk's biceps.
Gaffer Ash.
Yeah.
And if you think it's Cameroon's match-fixing, in-squad bullying... And not letting everyone be a part of the match fixing, which seems fair. And if I was a teacher, I'd be saying, let everyone have a go at this. Don't exclude some of the kids.
Are you not a teacher?
Then it would be, then it would be it's hashtag Gaffer Craig. So that's the big three. If you've got any suggestions for what we should do for the next big three, anything can be World Cup related, football related, it doesn't really matter.
If you have suggestions, yeah, just Twitter, hashtag Gaffer Ash.
Yeah, that's it. No. that's the hotline. Yeah. It won't distort anything. Yeah, we'll think about.
If you like pissed off about anything in your life,
hashtag Gaffer Ash.
Get the hashtag going.
Exactly. If you like sleeping, just
any thoughts about the
hashtag
World
Gaffer
Cup.
Ash. That's it. But if you do have a suggestion for Big Three, then do tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes with your favourite hashtag there, or anything about the World Cup. Our hilarious bloody tweeting that goes on all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's constant up there. Then just get following at the Gaffer Tapes. We're also available on iTunes, the Gaffer Tapes, Fantasy Football Podcast. You can listen to episode one if you missed it. And of course, we will be back with more World Cup goodness. Why not?
Yeah.
Before the kickoff of the season. That's the real quiz, the 2014-15 season. It's getting closer. There's more and more transfer news. There's more and more fantasy football. It's not long, surely, till we can start registering for that.
The door slams open.
It does. The door slams wide open.
Wide.
So yes, that's it for episode two of the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast World Cup Special from myself, from Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ash.
Yes, hello.
Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.